Welcome, friends, to August 25th on Joe's Daily U.S. History Lesson. I am your host, Joseph DeCristoforo.
And for the next 5 minutes, I'll talk about America. What we love, what we don't love, and everything in between.
I assembled this podcast from my backyard in La Mesa, California, which is right next to San Diego. If you're looking to move here, or if you have any questions about real estate or refinancing, take a look at TeresaLovesRealEstate.com and then give her a call, 619-507-4906. And let's begin the show as we normally do with the Pledge of Allegiance. Let's everybody stand up, face the flags if we have one, and put our right hand over our heart and begin. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Very nice. Just be glad I didn't sing the Star Spangled Banner. You don't want to hear me sing anything, trust me. And now moving on to today's program.
General Washington begins assigning code names to his spy ring. The red shirt begins forming at a Democrat parade in Charleston, South Carolina.
Sugar Ray Robinson wins the boxing middleweight title.
Mochy wins an award for having the biggest dog tongue.
And Mark McGwire hits his first homer. All right, so now let's get started.
1777. American spy ring of the revolution begins assigning code names.
General George Washington used covert warfare to fool the British in similar ways as Bugs Bunny used to fool Elmer Fudd.
Waskoy Wabbit.
It was the only hope Washington had, since there was no way his army of undisciplined ragtags could mount a successful insurrection against the world's mightiest army at that time. British-occupied New York was a very dangerous place for spies in 1777. What was once a very patriotic city during the signing of the Declaration of Independence was now turned loyalist as the citizens of New York wouldn't dare show the slightest hint of patriotism. The British soldiers took up room and board anywhere they darn well pleased, and the owners of the dwelling would have no choice but to put up with it. This made the ladies of the house very uncomfortable, as rape by British soldiers, although officially denied, were noted in examples, such as a letter from a British Cavalier soldier to the 10th Earl of Huntington, dated August 5th, 1776, where apparently he got away with it. Quote, "A girl cannot step into the bushes to pluck a rose without running the most imminent risk of being vanished. And they are so little accustomed to these vigorous methods that they don't hear them with a proper resignation. And as of consequence, we have the most entertaining court-martials every day." Unquote. Washington's first attempt at espionage during the war turned out to be a dismal failure, as Nathan Hale was instantly caught by the Redcoats and then executed. Realizing the need for a network of spies who were loyal to the Patriot cause and not the prophet, while at the same time skillful enough to pull off being a spy, was no easy task. But Major Benjamin Tallmadge organized the ring. The rest of the ring, Robert Townsend, General Abraham Woodhull, Austin Rowe, Anna Strong, and Caleb Brewster would all get their code names in due time. It would be on this day when Abraham Woodhull met with Major Tallmadge and began their plan. Tallmadge would be codenamed John Bolton, a name that wasn't too flashy and not too common so that innocent bystanders with the same name wouldn't be in danger from the Redcoats. And it was better than Michael Bolton because, well, we Americans would need that name later on for the guy who's saying, "When a man loves a woman." I know, it's complicated, I'm sorry. It's hard for me too, trust me. Now for Woodhull, the name would be much more fitting. Tallmadge had lost his brother Samuel already in the war, so the name Samuel was selected, followed by the last name, chosen after a town in Suffolk County named Culpeper. That was George Washington's boyhood stomping grounds and areas of early work as a land surveyor. Culpeper was shortened to Culper, and the spy chief, codenamed Samuel Culper, began organizing his ring. 1876. Southern Brigadiers wave the bloody shirt at a Democratic parade in Charleston, South Carolina. Waving a red shirt would symbolize the Southern Democrats' resistance to the Republican Party. waving the bloody shirt, was a popular phrase during the post-Civil War Reconstruction period that mocked Northern Republicans who wanted revenge for blood spilled by the South. It was on this night in 1876 at this parade when those red shirts were in fact waved. Now, the red shirts was a muscle group of white supremacists that was an extension of Southern Democrats who terrorized former African-American slaves and their white allies. They weren't the only military faction of the Democratic Party. The White League was another precursor of the Ku Klux Klan group, who killed anywhere between 60 to 150 African-American soldiers at the Colfax Massacre on Easter Sunday, April 13, 1873, in Colfax, Louisiana. Both the Red Shirts and White League would use intimidation at the voting polls, which would be used as successful tactics in the 1872 Louisiana election for governor, which is what led to the Colfax Massacre as well as the 1876 presidential election between Rutherford B. Hayes versus Samuel J. Tilden. They would use violence to keep African Americans from voting and sometimes would literally print a picture of the deceased Abraham Lincoln and put it on their candidate's name to trick illiterate voters. Both the Red Shirts and the White League would merge into the Ku Klux Klan. And in dog news, 2016, Mochi of Sioux Falls wins the longest tongue on a dog award. Now, we've all seen Scooby-Doo macking on a 2-foot sandwich, slopping up every last bite, and even licking the camera lens. Though no species on Earth can compare to the 20-incher of the giraffe, which is long enough even to excite some of my ex-girlfriends, the Mochi tongue remains the longest among dogs. Isn't it great how male dogs lick their testicles and then come up to you and want to lick your face? By the way, you want to know what else is on that tongue? The olfactory glands in a dog's snout produces a mucus. So when a dog is sniffing something and trying to figure out what it is, he licks some of the boogers out of his nose to sample it and figure out exactly what that smell is. Just so you know. But getting back to Mochi, the fluffy Saint Bernard from Sioux Falls, South Dakota, has a tongue 7.3 inches. For the record, Mochi, the love of Carla and Craig Rickert, would not be able to beat the original 1 foot 5 inch licker named Brandy back in 2002. Brandy the Boxer still remains the tongue champion of John Scheidt in St. Clair Shores, Michigan.
Zoinks!
Finally in sports news, 1950. Sugar Ray Robinson KOs Jose Basora to win the middleweight boxing title. In 1986, A's Mark McGwire hits his first major league home run. So that, my friends, is going to wrap it up for August 25th on Joe's Daily U.S. History Lesson. Once again, I am your host, Joseph DeCristoforo. Check out the website, joesdailyushistorylesson.com. Let me know what you thought about today's episode. What if you were part of Washington's spy rings? What would your code name be?
I can see mine as being Benjamin Stryker, or BS for short.
How about them redcoats? So now you know how the KKK got started. So yeah, let me know what you think. You can also check out some of the multiple choice quizzes while you're on the website. Good luck with that. Be sure to check out tomorrow's program. I'll talk about Operation High Jump, the self-proclaimed father of radio, the first baseball game broadcast on TV, and we'll wish a happy birthday to mobsters Henry Hill and Kate Friedman. So don't miss that. In the meantime, you can catch me on Facebook and Twitter. So until then, thanks for listening, everyone, and thanks for being great patriotic Americans. We'll see you then.